Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Hope you are doing well on this post-Valentine's Day situation as we get ready for the rest of February. Halfway done. How about that? This week we'll talk about the Maryland Black Bears' tough road trip in Johnstown. Pretty tough week for Team Maryland, too. Stevenson men getting up and at them, and Stevenson women starting up this week, as well as some MSHL updates and players as we get going. But before we get to all of that, there is another Maryland hockey family in need of help, as Dwayne Woodward, who is father of Kevion Woodard, he has suffered a pretty big setback in terms of his cancer. He had chemotherapy treatments from November 2019 to March 2020, and now it's aggressively returned. Also suffered a rib and back fracture, along with torn arteries of his heart and kidney failure. There's a GoFundMe going on right now to help the family pay the medical bills. Dwayne Woodard is a part of the Bowie Hockey Club. He's the father, like I said, of Kevion, and they're both deaf. So a story there in and of itself, in terms of a father helping his son enjoy the game of hockey, also being his interpreter. So it's a tough situation. So if you look up, it's pinned to the Chesapeake Hockey Week Twitter, Chesapeake HW Pod, the GoFundMe, and also if you search on GoFundMe, go to Dwayne Woodard, DwayneWoodard, if you want to contribute, or even if you just want to pass it along for others to see. We will now move on to the Maryland Black Bears this week, who traveled up to Johnstown for a two-game set. First time they traveled up there since one of their games got canceled due to the restrictions of Pennsylvania levied on sporting teams and of the such. And it was a tough, tough weekend for the Black Bears as they dropped both of them Friday night, 3-1. We'll start off there. And Johnstown was pretty much all over the puck for a bit there, as they are wont to do. And, you know, it wasn't a big discrepancy, but possession game was a big thing. I think Johnstown held the possession a lot better than Maryland did in the grand scheme of things. They struck first, William Pearson with his first goal in the NHL, and Will Margel getting an assist, the Potomac, Maryland native. We'll talk about him later on in the show. Then second period, they actually got the feed working. And then Tanner Rowe gets his third of the year, picking up a Josh Waters rebound off of Dylan Finley initial shot. And that made it 1-1. Then towards the end of the period, Holt Oliphant with his sixth of the year on the power play as Johnstown takes the lead. And then a minute 42 in, John Gillette with his 17th of the season. And that put it away for the Johnstown Tomahawks. Big one in this game. Maryland 0-7 on the power play. Not great in this whole thing. Michael Morelli kept it close. 29 saves in the losing effort. And not much you can say. Possession game just wasn't there. Power plays, like, it can't be stressed enough, and this is the second or third year we've been talking about the power play just not being able to click, and they're currently 22nd out of 23 teams in the NHL in the power play. So something needs to figure itself out, whether it's be reading and reacting a little better, whether it's changing up the schematics. I don't know. I'm not back there on the bench, but I think it's something that definitely needs to be addressed when you have a goose egg for seven. When you're given such a glorious chance too, especially late into the game. So move onward and upward for all of that. And then on to Saturday. Saturday, Johnstown got off to a pretty interesting start. Rebound in front, and Alex Gritz puts it away past now here's the thing. Hanze Cullen is what they were calling him. Hans Colleen is what we were said. I don't know what it is. So we're going, the announcer said that they talked to Hanze Cullen, and that's what he said his name was, so we'll go from there. So Gritz gets his eighth of the season. Then a little bit of an interesting situation as, boy howdy, there was something interesting. So apparently there was a puck that went on goal on Cullen, redirect it through. The referee points at the goal line. The lights go on. Horns go off. Puck never crossed the line from what I saw because it was loose and going the other way. And next thing you know, there's a scrum because Josh Nixon, I believe, or Josh Waters, one of the Joshes, just goes ahead and skates the other way because he didn't hear a whistle. It was Josh Nixon, it looks like. And goes the other way. Next thing you know, things are all kimbo. The referees have a conference. And no goal. So very weird situation there. Very odd something happening there. Couple minutes later, TJ Kufis, with his third of the year, put him up 2-1 for certain. And then just with a 1:40 left in the second, on the power play, no less. Talking about getting it started. Power play goal as Aiden Bruich gets a tip in front off of Aiden McDowell's shot after a Sean Kilcullen pass over across. Great movement on the top of the half of the power play there up the umbrella area. Initially, it was given to Aiden McDowell, but Bruich got a little bit of a stick on it, and then there you go, his fourth of the year. Both Bruich and McDowell, the Aidens, have been playing very well, and Sean Kilcullen solidly having a good rookie season as well. But that's it. Nothing to speak of in the third period. Only 11 shots total. Maryland with 4, and that's all she wrote. Cullen with 27 saves in the losing effort, and Maryland drops one, another one. So they are hurting a little bit. They get Johnstown again this weekend, and the Black Bears right now tied for third in the division, 29 points with the New Jersey Titans. Titans on a big roll, four in a row, winners of four in a row. Maryland Black Bears on a downturn. They have lost four in a row and have won only 3 games in their last 10. Northeast is 8 points behind Maryland, but Maryland's got 3 games in hand there. And Danbury slowly sneaking up there, but Danbury's had a little bit rough go about it since their restart. So I think the big one to really look at is Danbury. They could be coming up slowly, but surely they're a really good team, and I think Maryland really needs to focus and get things going. Luckily, back at Piney Orchard this weekend. I think it's a Saturday-Sunday set. So if you got hockey TV, flip it on and away you go. You're off to the races for all of that. So Black Bears back at Piney Orchard. So you got the definite home ice advantage. All right. You got the Tomahawks again, who you played really tight, and they're the first in the division. You knock these guys off. That's a huge point swing. You got to get wins. How about we get the power play going, too? How about we get that going, too? That'd be wonderful if we could get that going, folks. So a big weekend coming up here for the Black Bears, as it will be going forward as we look ahead to what's going on. So if you can get to the hockey TV, get to the hockey TV, cheer on your Black Bears, and we will go see you next week about what happens there. Team Maryland also in action this week. They played on Friday. They played on Friday and on Monday, right? Yeah, Friday, Monday. Because I don't think they played Sunday. If I look back, I just typed it wrong into my computer. So they played Friday against the New Jersey 87s, the top team in the EHL. And lo and behold, boy howdy, they got themselves a big win as Team Maryland wins in a shootout 3-2. Haylen Cookston, pretty much parlaying off of his Star of the Month honors, gets a goal in the first, 7:19, and on the power play, Bobby Guyer, Connor Ball on that one. Nothing happened in the second. Then New Jersey strikes, as they are wont to do, very quickly, early in the frame, 2 goals within 2 minutes and 20 seconds. In the first 2 minutes and 20 seconds, the goals were 1:10 apart. Dylan Gutierrez, even strength, and then Tim DeBroed got one even strength. But 2 minutes later from that, 2:20 later, Kyle Peters, even strength goal from Patrick Nowak, Justin Gusso. There was no scoring whatsoever on the other side of the regulation, other side of the whole fantasticness that was the overtime. So we go to a skills competition, and in that skills competition, Team Maryland wins. I'm not seeing any kind of shootout scoring on this one. All right, that's fine. Away we go. Oliver Quinn, 29 saves in the winning effort, and a big, big win for the Team Maryland in all this because, you know, New Jersey's the top of the table, and you got to like getting a win there, even if it is in a shootout. You give them another loss. You kind of close the gap. You get yourself some points, too. That's pretty crucial as well. That Team Maryland took on Monday as we record this. That would be the evening, the day that we recorded this. They took on the Philadelphia Little Flyers. A tough back-to-back game. 5-1 in overtime as Team Maryland gets a shootout, another shootout. Why'd they put overtime period one and then Philadelphia Little Flyers shootout one? EHL, let's get together. Let's get together and think about this whole thing. Little Flyers get out to a quick lead in terms of just in general. Don't know what that means. We'll move forward. Connor McDonald, shorthanded in the midway through the first. I guess Little Flyers on the board first. Second period, two more goals for Little Flyers. First starting off with Connor McDonald again, and then Vincent Nicosia with a goal midway through the frame. Team Maryland comes back with three goals of their own. 4:40 in. Haylen Cookston once again gets another goal for his troubles. Then Christian Kupany gets an even strength goal from Connor Ball and Sawyer Tanliff. Michael McAuliffe gets himself an even strength goal, 16:45. A minute 10 later, Adam Bovas for Philadelphia gets him on to the score sheet and back in the lead. And then the O captain, my captain, with only 41 seconds remaining, Denny Arkhipenko, even strength goal from Cameron Satowski and Bobby Geyer. And then shootout win. We do have shootout summaries on this one. What's going on, EHL? Anywho, Sadowski scored for Team Maryland. McDowell scored for the Little Flyers. Bovis scored for the Little Flyers again. And Donnelly Arkhipenko did not. And that's your final. Oliver Quinn, 28 saves in this one. A big, big game for him. There you go. That's what we got there for Team Maryland. When you look at the standings, Team Maryland sitting comfortably in third spot. Tied for second, actually, with the Little Flyers. Little Flyers get the advantage because of wins. They have 18 to Team Maryland 16. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Just under a little bit of a 500 mark. I don't know how they, again, percentage-wise, I don't understand how that works. But 38 points, 12 clear of ProTech. And as we zoom right ahead, they have ProTech this afternoon. Maybe as you're watching this or hearing this or whatever. Final five games for Team Maryland here, and they'll play three in the next in this week alone. So they got ProTech at ProTech on Tuesday, the 16th. Then Thursday and Friday, Connecticut comes to play at Piney Orchard. Noontime starts on that one. And then two road games next week, and then that's the regular season. That's all she wrote. So we got possibly playoffs. I think if I'm doing my math right, playoffs are possibly a lock. So put a big lock on it. Not saying it's a lock. I don't know. They don't have any annotations here. But in any case, we'll see how it goes. Team Maryland looking strong, looking good. Just need a bounce here and there, and away we go. So big week coming up for them at ProTech Connecticut, back at Piney Orchard. And there we go. Good times ahead for Team Maryland. Also, good time for the Stevenson Mustang men as they are back on the ice and had themselves a nice little two-game set, home-and-home set, against the Chatham University Cougars. And Stevenson getting back to their winning ways in a big way. 4-1 on Friday, 4-1 on Saturday, a 4-1 sweep of Chatham this week. We'll get started. Freshman Mac Lowry. 1:22 into the game. Carl Leiden and Mac Capucci on the assist on that one. Chatham on the power play gets one back as Tristan Sim gets a goal, his first of the season, 7:17. And nothing happened in the second. But then on the power play, Stevenson getting one of their own. Mike Lowry got a power play goal, 7:46, his second of the game. Eric Olson and former Black Bear Seth Bergeron getting his first assist in his college career. Chad Watt at 18:03, unassisted, gets Stevenson up 3-1. And then Brendan Rylott with the empty netter with 1:05 remaining from Houston Wilson and Aaron Murray. And that's all she wrote. Mike Lowry with a big, big game for himself to start out. Also, Marco Sturma, former Northeast Generals goaltender, 19 saves for his first NCAA victory. As Stevenson rolls, 37-20 were the shots on this one. Stevenson also had a great PK, 5 for 6 on the PK, so a good kill in that one there. We go to Saturday, up to Chatham, and there we go. Chatham gets on the board first. Corey King, 14:09 in, gets Chatham up first. Then Stevenson, Chad Watt with 15 seconds remaining from Eric Olson, ties it right before the frame. Anthony Starzy, 11:01 in the second from Ryan Patrick and Luke Benitez, 2-1 on that one. Then Luke Benitez with 21 seconds left in the frame from Chad Watt, and Eric Olson puts it up 3-1. And then in the third period, 3:41, Matt Cappucci with his goal. Ryan Patrick, Blake Coleman on the assist on this one. Ryan Kenny getting the start in this one. 21 saves for him. He gets a win. A lot of goaltenders for Stevenson, as they got 4 goaltenders rostered down here. So a huge, huge game for them. Eric Olson, very good on the faceoff dot, 7 of 9, pretty much a big standout for Stevenson. You want to talk about clutch faceoffs? Eric Olson could be the guy you go to in this one. Stevenson, what happens next for them? Well, this weekend, I think it's another home-and-home. It is against Lebanon Valley, Friday at Lebanon Valley. So they'll be playing, I think, in Hershey Park Arena. And then Saturday at back at Reisterstown Sportplex at 5 p.m. start on that one. The home game, you will have video on GoMustangSports.com. If you want to watch that game ahead of the Black Bears game, go for it. Always a good time for Stevenson. Great facility there. And they got great camera work, I think, too. Like multi-cameras. It's fantastic. So check them out. Cheer them on. And also cheer on the Stevenson women. They'll get started up this weekend. They'll have a home-and-home against Chatham and the Cougars there, starting at Chatham. And then Sunday, they will be back at Reisterstown Sportplex. A 2 o'clock start Eastern on that one. Also, you can watch that game on GoMustangSports.com. As the Lady Mustangs looking to get back in the playoffs, as they were there in the Final Four of the UCHC last season, and then got eliminated in the Final Four, but still a big accomplishment for them, for a team that didn't get too far the year prior. So a great building block for that team there. So we will see how far they can go as they get their thing get their whole dang thing started this weekend. Let's take a look see at the MSHL. As a big weekend as we go towards playoffs, the Monessee Valley Hockey League has been decided. First place goes to Oakdale as they won 9-2 over Middleton at Skate Frederick tonight, or on Monday night. So a big win there. They will go on. I don't know if the playoffs are set for there or if they're going on the playoffs. I'm not entirely sure, but it looks like they will be going forward, onward, and upward to the playoffs. The Howard County Scholastic Championship, the Ciro Cup, will begin on the 17th, so that's this Wednesday. The Swamp Kings, the aggregate of 4,000 schools, will take on Mount Hebron in a 3-6 matchup. River Hill will take on Wolves, which is another congregation of schools, in the 4-5 matchup. The winner of the River Hill Wolves game will take on top-seeded Glen Elg on Monday. The Swamp Kings Hebron game, the winner of that will take on Marriott's Ridge on Tuesday, and then the finals will be on March 1st. So we will keep a tabs on that as we get ready for some MSHL playoff, baby. And interesting to note, Calvert Hall, who I am, of course, Rivals. My school is Rivals of that school. They're getting things going, I think. They've been sending emails about sponsorship for their little media book. And by little media book, I mean, I think it's just digital, so it's not necessarily a book. So interesting to see what the MSHL will do. Not the MSHL, the MAPHL, how they're going to format this, if this is going to be one of those situations where it's just get kids some development, get some gears going, get their legs moving, get some representation in the schools. I'm not entirely sure how this is all going to go, so stay tuned for more, I bet, on this one. I haven't heard anything from Spalding or MSJ, to be quite honest, nor have I heard anything from Gonzaga or DeMatha. I also haven't looked that hard either, so that's on me, kids. That's on me for that one. So stay tuned on this one and also on the Twitter, ChesapeakeHWPod, for more. How about we get to some players? And we'll just get the Lacey Eden update out of the way. This young lady is just going ham for the number one Wisconsin Badgers. This weekend against Bemidji State, Wisconsin handed them pretty easily. 4-0, 7-0. Lacey Eden, a goal in that in the first game on Friday, a goal and assist on Saturday, 5 goals, 9 points in 8 games. Whew, listen, this is going to turn into just a Lacey Eden fan podcast after a while, I'm sure. And with a full season, who knows where the Annapolis native can go. But it is just amazing to see how quickly she's been able to adjust, especially with the time off. And I think this goes for a lot of college athletes as well. The time off, the restrictions there, not missing a beat. As a freshman, just going undaunted, just going, you know what? This is mine. I'm taking it. So shout out Lacey Eden. Possibly in the discussion for Women's Rookie of the Year. Honestly, like, this is fantastic from her. We could have a Patty Kazmir award winner for best female hockey player in the nation in the next coming years. I say that without a hint of sensationalism. I think she is that good. And I think that she is on the right team to go ahead and give her that kind of vault. So shout out Lacey Eden. Let's get that bread, gamers. I don't know what that means. I'm just hyped. I'm so happy for her and happy to put Maryland women's hockey on the map as well in a big, big way. Sam Annis has been playing some games, too, for Utica on Saturday. The Utica Comets win 6-5. Annis, 2 assists on that one. He's having a pretty decent year. 4 assists in 3 games on that one. Will Margell, we mentioned 2 assists against the Black Bears on Friday. I mean, you hate to see it, but good for him to get going. You know, hate to see it against our boys, I suppose. But it is what it is, right? Jarrett Rosberg, shout out. A big assist for him as he gets his first assist on Saturday in a Texas Stars win. So good for him. Congrats to him. Welcome to the AHL, young man, as the Clarksville, Maryland native goes all out and gets himself a nice little assist, his first professional assist on that. Aaron Dazzo played on Thursday night, the 11th, against the Muskegon Lumberjacks. He gets the win in a shootout there. 40 saves in the winning effort. 930 save percentage in that game. The game the next two nights off as Green Bay sweeps Muskegon in 3 games. Pretty, pretty good on that outset there. And a tough weekend for Andrew Takis a win and a loss for him. 27 saves on Friday night. On the victory, that equals out to a 964 save percentage. Then he only saw 20 minutes of action, just over 20 minutes, 24 minutes of action against the Shreveport Mugbugs. 12 saves on 16 shots, 750 save percentage. He got the hook after 24 minutes. So split weekend for him as he's been doing pretty good. He's got a 7-1-0 record, 210 goals against, 929 for the Amarillo Bulls. Good to see him find his footing there as he is turning 20 here in a couple days or in about a week or two. So there we go. Some retired players we have to mention. Jack Burton, former defenseman. After playing in Denmark, he has retired. He is working for Tuscany Strategy Consultant. Don't know what that is. Good for him, though. So Jack Burton out of the game. After playing at Colby College, then for the Indy Fuel, then over in Denmark. So he has now found himself a good time. Madison Ferrand, who just recently played for RIT as early as last year, she has gone the way of retirement as well. She is now at an internship at Northrop Grumman in the mechanical engineering side of things in Baltimore. She goes back home. So that's good to see that she is gotten a hell of a career, and that RIT ain't nothing to laugh at there. So a great education she got for those 4 years. Now she's turned it into a great career for herself. So shout out to Madison Ferrand in that one. And that's all we've got, folks. We've done it. You guys have a wonderful week. Back at Piney Orchard for the Maryland Black Bears and Team Maryland. We'll talk about Stevenson next week. We'll talk about some possible playoffs next week. Talk about all the things next week. You guys stay tuned for all that. For any other updates, you can go to our Twitter, twitter.com/ChesapeakeHWPod, facebook.com/ChesapeakeHWPod. That's all we got for that one. ClutchingCrabHockey.com for any Maryland stuff that starts to come up. And that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show. Media Faction, any kind of podcatcher, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, hell, even TuneIn. We got that. That's what I usually link to. I like TuneIn. It's fun. It's a fun name. And yeah, that's it. That's all. You guys have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful week. Play that Clutch and Crab Hockey. I'll see you next week. Peace.